baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. We're the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the Devious and Dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up?
Not much, man. Another week is in the books. 2019 is closing up soon. Still got some badass cards coming up. It's officially fight week, so UFC 244 is, it's on the horizon, but we got to put a few other cards to rest as well, plus cover the latest news. And speaking of UFC 244, that bad boy almost fell apart. We'll touch on that when we come back. For sure, we're going to touch on the two Bellator cards. They were back-to-back. There's a new millionaire over there at Bellator. A lot of news coming out of Bellator. And, of course, in Singapore, we'll definitely cover Ben Askren and Damian Maya and give you all those results. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. Here we go on a late Sunday, early Monday radio show.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. Is Nate Diaz a needle mover? Remember that, Goes, about a year ago? 2 years ago?
I think he was right back then, though.
That was the case.
He was right back then. Conor McGregor made him a needle mover. That matchup made him a needle mover.
He
fought Benson Henderson, were people like, oh my God, I can't wait. I have to see that.
But he was one half of the Diaz brothers, and the Diaz brothers have been polarizing for a long time. It wasn't like the Anthony Pettis. See, Dana White only said that after the Pettis fight. And it wasn't like the Pettis fight. Oh my God, now he's late to the party and saying he's a needle mover. He's always been a needle mover. The only reason I'm saying that, Goes, is because normally I'd say in Singapore, Damian Maya, I'd be saying that. I'd be talking about Bellator. But I'm sorry, the big news, the big, big news was the fact that after we did our show on Thursday morning show, later that day it broke that Nate Diaz would be out of the fight. Due to, for his post on Instagram or Twitter, one of those, was basically, hey, I ain't no cheater, and I got flagged for something. He really wasn't going into details, but what he was doing was putting it out there himself and basically just saying, I'm out of here if these people are going to be tripping the way they're tripping, And so, of course, that caused the panic. For one, it just seemed bizarre. Diaz brothers can be what they are. They miss meetings. They miss flights. They fight on the streets, things like that. They get high. Mm-hmm. But they've never struck me as cheaters.
No. They've never struck me as cheaters. But I don't know that everything they say, they believe. So in other words, his whole thing was, I'm not doing anything until my name is cleared.
Right.
And I don't know that that would have been the case. Because I don't think they're stupid. You're going to put all that time and effort into a camp and not get paid.
Right.
So it would have been interesting to see how far that would have planned out or panned out.
It was an aggressive move. And then right away, Masvidal said, nope, he's showing up. We still got to fight. John Morgan was in communication with Dana White. We were actually on a conference call that day, and he was already giving us the feeling that Nate was just reading wrong into this. So what happens is, folks, now we're in an era when USADA does have an adverse finding whatever it may be, which in this case was some sort of a tainted supplement, they go to the fighter and let them know, you know. And then at that point, they're going to go through a process where they can, you know, adjudicate it, investigate it, all that stuff. And the fighter can basically sit back quiet. And at that point, their name's not even attached with any of these allegations that come with it. First, they settle it, they figure it out, and then afterwards they can make an announcement. Now, if an athlete does come forward, the UFC and USADA do step up and say, well, yeah, since he's chiming in, this is what's happening. However, Nate wanted to get ahead of it because he doesn't know any better. Goes, you know how the Diaz brothers, they'll just overreact. The knee-jerk reactions that they have, you know, and decisions that they make sometimes publicly, just I don't know. I mean, that they go against the norm, and it's kind of what makes them popular. Totally. And I think what happened was Nate took a call, and he was like, nah, fuck this. Boom, hung up the phone and went straight forward with it, you know, in terms of letting his fans know what was happening. Because more than likely, the UFC and USADA said, hey, look, this happened, but we're going to get down to the bottom of it. Don't worry, you know. And I think Nate's always got this chip on – actually, the Diaz brothers always have this chip on the shoulder where they always feel like someone's out to get them. And I bet you that didn't go well. And I think the reason why you saw it in the UFC, now I'm going to sound like a cheerleader for them, said what they said was, I think they knew they were giving these guys a heaping benefit of the doubt, because Nate's a vegan, and the tainted supplement usually is we've seen in the combat sports world is usually attached to like meat or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Frank Mir and Tom Lawler, Canelo Alvarez in boxing, they've gotten that. And with him probably taking a vegan supplement, it's just something it sounded believable probably to you saw it in the UFC, that more than likely this was a mistake. And I think that's why they were telling him, hey, calm down while we figure this out. Except Nate didn't calm down.
Yeah, now that whole situation was weird. And when you think of everything that's on the line for that card, I mean, it's a good card, but we're all tuning in for that main event. Right. I think all their eggs are in that basket. So picture people that have paid money to fly out to New York.
A belt's been created.
Yeah, a belt's been created. There was so much on the line that I think when he did that, the UFC had to have gotten pissed. But now he's Nate Diaz, and he can kind of just get away with doing things like that.
Now, the UFC has already put out their statement. Nate is not a cheater is basically what it boils down to, and that's why we use that headline. But he has been cleared to fight at UFC 244 after USADA exonerated him of wrongdoing. Basically, USADA has taken steps for these types of cases, like the ones I described before, where even though there's a finding, they are finding, sounds like a riddle, like a puzzle, they are finding that they can sift through most of these cases that involve a tainted supplement. Now they have, you know, enough case study, and they can at least make a decision whether they can investigate this quickly or if this is something that's going to take time. And I think with Nate's lifestyle, it was one of those that they were able to identify quickly. Now, that said, all the naysayers out there are going to be thinking, nah, funny business. The UFC, this is too big of a fight. They've stepped in.
Does seem odd, doesn't it?
They're in USADA's pocket. USADA's in UFC's pocket. Who knows what they're going to say? Yeah, it does, but I've seen the UFC lose bigger fights. So that's why I know that that's not the case. It's just USADA can't seem – every time USADA seems to take a step forward, they also take one backward. Supposedly they were on the verge of making an announcement in a couple weeks that this would be the case when it came to these types of findings. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get to that. It's not that they didn't get to that. It's just this just happened to come up. Mm-hmm. But supposedly they were going to make a
– convenient.
Yeah, I know.
That's what people are going to say, right?
I know.
And when they say that, do you really have that much of an argument back to him? Like, I'm not one of those conspiracy kind of guys. I really am not. But if somebody were to say that, I'd kind of go, I mean, I guess you got something there.
But do you notice the doubt is pointed towards, or the fingers pointed towards USADA or the UFC and not Diaz? Yet Diaz is the subject in question. And any other fighter would not get that benefit. Any other fighter, but even a choir boy like GSP, he had them muscles. I knew it. You know what I mean? Jones, who's just a naturally gifted athlete, not really jacked except for his powerlifting days, he wouldn't get that benefit. The Diaz brothers do get it because of that clean lifestyle that they have. You know, they may be gangsters and stuff, but other than the pot, and if And unless you step to them, I think for the most part they just chill out. You know what I mean? And I don't think they can do no wrong.
I don't think they go out
and cause trouble. It's usually if trouble comes to them, they're willing to engage. But other than that, I don't see them really acting a fool.
I don't know. You know, they remind me of a little bit.
Maybe Nick a little lately now in this partying days. But as an athlete, no.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They can be a good guy, and people will like them. They can do bad things and people still like him. It's kind of like Stone Cold. He would do that, right? Like, he could throw up a middle finger, do whatever, even hit the good guy, and people would still cheer for him. I think that's what it's like with Nate Diaz.
Here's the funny thing is, are they smart enough to know that, and now they're using it to their advantage?
I think they
are. Or are they still naive and just because of their aggression and because it works out, they just always turn back to the aggression. Hey, I'll just get out ahead of it. I'll just, you know, back them into a corner. I'm going to put out a statement. My fans will talk on my behalf. You know what I mean? Because that was dangerous stuff that he did.
Very dangerous stuff.
All of a sudden proclaiming himself out. And, you know, everybody was trying to say, like, there's a cover-up, because he was making it sound that way. And I think all they were saying was, listen, this came up. And I think before they even got to the part where they said, but we know that you don't really have a reputation as a cheater in the lifestyle that you lead. Before they even got to that, I think Nate said, I ain't no cheater, boom, hung up, and then boom, straight to social media. So the others were just left scrambling. He made them look like fools, honestly.
A little bit, yeah. But he's got a little bit of that power now where he can do those type of things.
Yeah.
I mean, they put all their eggs in that basket. They created a belt for the guy.
Once again, folks, the fight is on, and that's basically what it boils down to. More, all that coverage is on MMA Junkie. Started last Thursday if you want to check on it. Our guys were on top of it, but in the end, on October 26th, which was Saturday, I think we got the final clearance that everything's still on. So good on that. Now listen, last Friday we had Bellator 231, Mir versus Nelson 2. That was the main event. Mir defeated Nelson, unanimous decision, 229-28 and a 30-27. Phil Davis got a win. Ed Ruth got a win too. Those are two big stars at light heavyweight and welterweight. But goes, they're getting older. You know what I mean? And especially Ed Ruth, who's not as old as Phil Davis, he tasted a little bit of adversity, and he's supposed to be one of the newer stars for Bellator, future stars for Bellator, but Jason Jackson will spoil that party.
His adversity is a little strange, though, because when it comes to Ed Ruth, he gets in those situations, but it's one of those situations where you look at it and you go, he kind of brings it on himself, because he doesn't like to use his wrestling. It's the strangest thing. He likes to throw his hands. And then he gets himself in this boat where you're like, dude, just do what you do really well and you wouldn't be in that situation. It's the strangest thing. But that was a close fight. And I actually, I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I thought he lost.
It was close.
It was close.
I had him winning, but I think I bet him. So don't ask me. Beck Rawlings took a loss, and then the Garrett Hager fight was declared a no contest, an unintentional low blow in round one. So that was your main card for Friday night's fights on Paramount and DAZN. I'm telling you, man, Bellator needs to find a consistent home, and we'll touch a little bit more on that in the news in the next segment. But just all the jumping around, I'm trying to tell a lot of the, like, our family and friends that are casual fans. Okay, for this one, Paramount. Yes, live. But if you're on the East Coast, if you have DirecTV. And if not, on cable, you got to wait till, you know.
I didn't like that part.
Yeah, it comes to your time zone.
Social media.
And then there's also the zone options. It's like, come on already. You know what I mean? I literally have to go through, like, a bunch of prompts. Hi, Dad. Oh, okay. What do you have again? DirecTV. Okay, if you have, you know, it's too much. Mm-hmm. And they need to find something.
That was a day where I'm also a USC Trojan fan, and I can't watch everything at once, but I had to get off of social media because I didn't want to get any Bellator spoilers. Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah. Then hours later, the card in Singapore started, and let's skip all the way to the main event of the prelims. Now, it was all on ESPN Plus, but they basically separated into two different broadcasts. Randa Markos got a win over Ashley Yoder, and it was a split decision. And I start there because Markos has been ranked as a strawweight before, and she was on the reality show, so she's got a level of popularity. And of course, Ashley Yoder, young lady from Southern California. What'd you think of that split decision?
It was tough. There's this thing about Randa Markos that I can't remember. We were talking about this early about some, I think, sports teams where she sometimes seems like the type of fighter that fights to the level of her opponent. And I think if she would have fought her the way she's fought other opponents, I don't think she would have had problems with Ashley Yoder. Like, Ashley Yoder's just kind of a go-getter. She's always in your face, and nothing really scares her. So props to her for showing up and everything. I thought it was the right decision, but it shouldn't have been like that. I thought Randa should have controlled a lot of that fight.
In the main card, Muslim Salikov defeated Laureano Staropoli. Cyril Gane defeated Dontel Mays. And that Gane, dude, that guy's going to be a star. We're talking about him the same way we were talking about Francis Ngannou. Remember after like the second or third fight when we were like, oh, wait a minute. That Ngannou guy is someone to keep an eye on, and that guy's on the verge of a title shot again. I'm getting really excited about Cyril Gane, who, by the way, is an amazing striker, but won by slick submission heel hook.
I mean, I know it's going to sound weird, but the UFC does need those people.
For sure.
When you think about, like, even in the upcoming Daniel Cormier, this is going to be the last, I'm pretty sure this is going to be the last time we're going to see him.
Yeah.
Even if he walks right through Stipe, I feel like it'll still be the last time. Like, they have to replenish these
and
stars.
Kane's gone. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Beneil Dariush defeated Frank Camacho. Good to see Beneil go out there. And I'll tell you what, man. I thought if he banged with Camacho, he might be in some trouble. But he looked good in the striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it held up. You know, eventually he got the submission over Frank Camacho. But Dariush looked tough, man. Stevie Ray defeated Michael Johnson. Tough loss for Michael Johnson. It was a majority decision because one judge called it 28-28. The same one that gave a 10-9 to Michael Johnson in round one also gave Stevie Ray a 10-8 in round three. The other two judges gave round one to Stevie Ray. That was basically the deciding round, and then Johnson and Ray split 2 and 3. Not sure that made too much sense, but it really was razor close. And it went down to a lackluster first round that either guy could have won had they been busier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the type of fights that make you pull your hair out, depending on what side you're on. And going back to Beneil Dariush, like, I honestly didn't think he was going to get that submission. He had the cage up against his back. Frank Camacho is a tough guy. Like, his record's not the best record in the world, but he's nonstop. And he's just, I thought he was going to drag Beneil into his type of fight, but Beneil was really disciplined. And when he got him on the ground, I just felt like Camacho was going to somehow work his way out of that, but he stopped him, and that's good because he's one of those guys, Beneil Dariush, that we said needed to take a little bit of a break, get things back together, and get back on a roll because he's really fun to watch.
Yeah. Let's see here. We get to the main event of Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. This fight goes at times looked, to an untrained eye or to a casual fan, you would have thought two amateurs were in there because on their feet, they're just not explosive fighters. In fact, Ben's really slow. He almost looked like punch drunk at times. Damian is, I think, more fluid in his striking, but again, just lacking the speed and power of other welterweights that we're used to seeing.
And they don't have that look.
But
either.
Their ground game, that's where they're beasts. And I thought it would be a little bit more like, I thought that could play out for a little bit longer, but Damian Maia just was superior to Ben Askren on the ground, getting in dominant positions, and even at times winning the wrestling. Great, great win for Damian Maia. And then goes, when I look back and realize that he's got like 22 wins in the UFC and over 30 fights, what a career. Like, I actually felt like 5 a.m. in the morning, whenever this was, I was on the couch watching it. I actually felt like standing up and clapping it. I was by myself with Max the JRT, but just like as a salute to Damian Maia, because what an amazing career. You know that?
Is he going
to
be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think he's going to make it in the Hall of
Fame. I think he will too.
Yeah.
But
he fought twice for the title, came up short, but he's literally fought everyone, man. And such a nice guy, such a classy guy. You know, even Twitter was telling me the same thing that I felt, you know, like that dude's special, you know what I mean, for our sport.
It's funny because if you look at both of them, they don't even really look like guys that would be fighting in a cage. They're just very clean-cut, normal-looking dudes. But it was a fun fight, and I think you got to give Damian Maia his props and his striking. His striking has gotten better. Okay, granted, it's Ben Askren. Ben Askren's not a stand-up guy. His wrestling, he's one of the guys that improved in that department. Damian Maia is a good guy. I just feel like he's a little just, yeah. And you're starting to see that a little bit. Like, you can just tell the way he walks. He's got a little wear and tear.
And even his next call out is Diego Sanchez. So you could tell that guy's like just ready to hang it up. Maybe a couple more big checks. Hey, look, I'll look out for the UFC, a main event here, main event there. And I'm sure he'd probably like his last fight to be in Brazil. But still, he has given the sport a lot. And a lot of class is what he's given the sport, you know. And that's what I'm trying to say, too.
What I don't know about them, they both looked kind of tired towards the end. Now, granted, they kept up a pretty good pace. But Ben looked exhausted. That chokehold, he was in that chokehold for maybe about, if you watch it, maybe 2 seconds before he went out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's having no oxygen whatsoever in your body. I mean, he must have been super gassed. And that's something that Damian Maia used to get criticized for.
And Ben's gone five rounds many times. So, who knows? Either way, Ben Askren was very close to one point being 0-3, yet just a few months ago, he was that 1-0 over Lawler going into the Masvidal fight. This guy was, we were talking about him possibly getting a title shot. My, how the times changed in, let me see, what's that? About 3 months it's been since that fight. Now he's lost two in a row, and who knows what's next? I mean, he's got a couple podcasts, wrestling camp.
You're counting him out like that?
Well,
I thought you just meant who his next opponent is.
No, I mean, he retired once before. You know what I mean?
Robbie Lawler's a good win.
It was a good win, but he did not look good in this last fight.
You're right. If you go back to the Masvidal fight,
there weren't many moments. I mean, there was a little bit of wrestling where he looked good.
Masvidal was quick enough where you could just go, "Hey man,
yeah,
there's
nothing
caught
to do, right?" Yeah.
But not, yeah, this fight didn't look too good against him.
Yeah, I'm just saying because he's set himself up nicely. Plus, he's been doing this for a long time, man. Who knows how his body feels? By the way, keep an eye on Sergey Pavlovich. He got a win over Maurice Greene, solid fighter there. They do bonuses over in the UFC, public bonuses, no disrespect to Bellator. Maybe they write some in the back, but, you know, UFC every fight night, they give out $200,000 in award. Fight of the night went to Maia Askren. I would have given it to Ray and Johnson. Two performances of the night, Benil Dariush and Cyril Gane. Let me see, 7,156 were in attendance at the K-Long. In Kailong, Singapore, at the Singapore Indoor Stadium. I don't have a gate for you all, but that was basically, in a nutshell, UFC Singapore or UFC Fight Night, Maia versus Askren.
How hardcore were you? What time did you get up? What was all that?
Live, I saw from Marcos Yoder all the way to the main event.
Eyes wide open the whole time?
I'd have to rub them a little bit, okay. Just, you know,
dozing off a little bit here and there.
Cup of coffee, yeah. But I powered through. I think I'm used to it from my Manchester United mornings. But I sure as hell was not going to do the 2 a.m. deal.
Social media was a little quiet.
I had a long, long night on Friday night, so I think I was just running on fumes. In fact, I think I'm running on fumes now. But let's get to the Bellator card on Saturday night. Bellator 232, McDonald versus Lima 2. Before all that, Baby Slice got a big win on the main card. Manny Murrow with the upset over Nick Newell. He cashed at about a plus 450 underdog price. So congrats to him. And now a star that Bellator may have is this Patrick Mix guy, Patchy. I'd like to see more of him. He defeated Isaiah Chapman. He just looks slick. Everything he's out there doing.
It's fun.
He's slick, pretty good on the mic, undefeated, solid cat. Paul Daly defeated Syed Awad. This one was a catch weight at 175 pounds. Syed Awad took the fight very, very late notice. And Douglas Lima, he is now a millionaire because he won the welterweight Grand Prix final, in which he took home $1 million prize from 50 Cent. He took home the Grand Prix belt that Bellator awarded to the winner of the tournament. And he also is now the champion because Rory McDonald, as champion participating, was actually defending his title throughout every fight. And so now they're 1-1. Douglas Lima's a millionaire. He's the latest champion. Very, very classy and humble in victory. Rory McDonald, classy in defeat. That said, I was expecting more fireworks from this fight. And it was good, but barely good. Like, it wasn't even on the other side. Like, was it closer to, from whatever you go, you know, poor, average, good, great? It was, I'll give it a good, but it was like a good minus, like a B minus, closer to average than just, I don't know, man. I was,
I would agree with
these
that.
These two guys are awesome fighters, but I thought I was going to see a little bit more.
The question is, too fighting tactical. For $1 million,
yeah.
does that too make much of a you, chess match. Like, are you more willing to throw down because $1 million is on the line? Or does that actually play the reverse on you and make you not want to make a mistake and really dial things in? I think it had the reverse effect on both of those guys.
I don't know, because I've been seeing a lot of PFL guys fight, and they're mm-hmm. laying it all out there. Look, PFL's had a few duds as well, but I've seen more guys going for it there.
But this is the equivalent of the final,
mm-hmm.
right? What we're seeing now are the playoffs, which would be the equivalent of the first and second round of the Bellator tournament. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, Douglas Lima. And I think if you look at his overall resume, he's not one of those guys where you go, eh, this guy's a little boring or a little timid. He's a good fighter.
True.
So is Rory McDonald. I think it's just the moment that kind of got to both of them where they were just, they didn't want to make a mistake, it seemed like. It seemed like there was a lot of pressure. But
you can tell when the announcer goes, Big John, how did it have it? How'd you have it? This was Goldberg doing it. And he goes, well, you know, in that round, you got to lean toward, you know, when he starts saying that, you know that not much happened.
Mm-hmm.
John's just giving you a decision because he used to be a ref, and it'd be a shame if he didn't. But there wasn't anything, like, clear with conviction, you know what I mean? And in round four, you know, round four and round five, things picked up a little bit. But still, I don't know. I cleared my whole Saturday night for this.
Yeah.
And,
I think we were waiting for fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Did not happen. All right, folks. Those are the results from the weekend. And, of course, if you go to the results tab at the top of MMAJunkie.com, you can see all the different promotions out there like CES, One Championship, Titan, LFA, Ryzen. There's been tons of results here these last few weeks as 2019 has finished strong. So it's all there for you. We got to move on, though, now to our News Nuggets segment. All right, Goz. So I mentioned Diego Sanchez, his name, when I mentioned that Damian Maia was kind of, I guess, saying that Diego had mentioned him or called him out, and so he basically obliges. So you could tell Damian knows he's not really in title contention, but this is just a fun fight. Diego's all in, is what he's saying against Damian Maia. Are you all in, is what I want to know. Of these veterans just deserve those final paychecks where they're gonna fight. The fight's gonna be a little meaningless in terms of title contention, but yet you just give them the platform of a co-main event or maybe a feature fight or hell, maybe even a main event, depending on, you know, the show that they're at.
I think they do deserve it, but I don't look at Damian Maia as that guy. I feel like Damian Maia, I don't think maybe he could put together what it takes to have a title shot, but he's just not that guy. He's a difficult out. Ben Askren is a tough guy, and that was a very tough fight for both of those guys. But I feel like Damian Maia can still contend with a lot of people, just not the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Sanchez is kind of 1 foot out the door now at this point, you know. And I guess it'd be kind of fun to watch, but
yeah,
I guess it'd be fun to see them hit the ground.
So here's what Diego said. Let's go, Dana White. I didn't get the go on at Showtime Pettis fight. I have paid my dues. Only you know the truth of my last outing. Let's put it together. January 18th in Vegas. Two legends want to dance. Let us dance. How about the fact that January 18th has been thrown out there by Conor McGregor? And since then, I think there's already been a couple fight bookings and fighters already posturing for that card. We're lucky, man. We get December 14th, UFC 245, sick-ass card to end the year. And 1 month later, we get one more, and maybe Conor might be the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
Things are looking good for 2020.
Dana was very clear, though, that, yeah, his name has been brought up, but nothing is even close to being signed, right? The question is that more of like a power play for Dana White in the UFC? In other words, to show that Conor's not the guy running the show here. Because it seems odd for Conor to tell everybody, wait, I may have an announcement later this week, and then finally say that, and then have the UFC come back and say something like that, which is kind of odd to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my point was more about the January 18th card just looking pretty firm. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But, I mean,
that's going to be – that they're going to negotiate through the media doing things like that. And as far as a power play, I think Dana, he's always given Conor McGregor the distinction of being the biggest fighter in the UFC by far and the easiest fighter to work with, and basically covering up for a lot of the shortcomings that Conor has had as a you know, fighter who hasn't behaved well outside of the octagon as of late. But I think he's either fed up or just knows that Conor might not be in his immediate future because of everything that he might be dealing with the law outside of fighting. And therefore, Dana just needs to move on. That's one thing Dana is pretty good at, is moving on. He may cry himself to sleep. Damn, you know, the unicorn, the big money star, we might not be able to promote him for the next few years, but the show always goes on with Dana.
It does. And who knows? You know, when you look at Nate Diaz and you look at Jorge Masvidal, this could be the fight that really makes them take another jump. And now, I don't know that you'll ever get Conor-esque type numbers from people. But when Ronda left, I mean, Ronda was one of those people, right? And then Conor kind of, you got your Conors, your Rondas. Like, I don't, John Jones doesn't really do those kind of numbers. Daniel Cormier doesn't do that. Maybe they're just kind of like special cases.
By the way, would you have inserted, if Nate couldn't go and Conor was willing to fight Jorge Masvidal as a promoter, would you have allowed that to happen? In other words, with 10 days to go and not enough time to really promote Conor the way it's supposed to go, would you have done that and just inserted him?
Yeah, because I think at this point, everything that comes along with Conor McGregor is a little bit of a nightmare for the UFC. So this is a perfect chance to maybe avoid some of those things. Just get him out there and fight. And really, what happens, you know, if Masvidal beats Conor, then you have a star in Jorge Masvidal, right? Or superstar. And if Conor wins, hey, he's back. You get him that much closer to that Khabib match.
But what about the actual promotion push?
He's his own promoter, Conor. Conor's past that, I think, now. Conor just has to show up.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Do you really sit back and go, Conor, what do you have to say now about this fight? You're going to tune in regardless.
No, but remember, they're trying to get the casual fan money, the one that has to go through two paywalls. You and I were in. What's that?
I think his name's big enough. Where the casual guy doesn't even go, Conor's fighting. Who's he fighting? They just go, Conor's fighting. Let's order that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't happen. Diaz and Masvidal are still on, so that's that. But how about the fact that Leon Edwards, he came clean and he said, the UFC denied me as a backup for Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz. He was another name that was being tossed around. Mm-hmm. And he said he would have been down, but one thing he made very clear was they didn't even want him as a backup. And that's strange because Edwards and Masvidal, now that's easy promoting right there. Three-piece in a soda, baby.
I don't think it's strange. I think it's actually a smart move for the UFC. You're going to risk, let's just say something with Nate, you could turn that around and still make that fight, but a couple months from now, just keep it intact. But you can't risk that against that. Leon Edwards, no joke. Short notice or not, he's no joke. And he can beat the guy that you're trying to make into a star now, and he could ruin that. Like, if you put Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz, not as many people are going to care.
Here's another thing that popped up that I thought was awesome. Kamaru Usman said, I will fight Jorge Masvidal in New York as a title defense, and then 6 weeks later, still fight Colby Covington. Now, I don't know if he knew that the UFC was going to decline that anyway, but the fact that he put it out there, I was like, all right, that's a gangster move right there. I liked it.
But you and I both know the UFC would never do that, right?
And well,
Kamaru knows that. So why not throw it out there?
You
look like a badass.
Why wouldn't they do it? You just said they would throw Conor in there.
Yeah, but they're not going to risk a fight that's already put out there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's too big of a risk.
Yeah, because we know Jorge would sign.
Yeah,
he'll fight anybody. I don't know. I felt like the UFC was a little bit desperate. This card's pretty good, though. It really is. I mean, they have Gastelum and Till. They added Lee and Gillespie. They have Derek Lewis and Blagoy Ivanov. So the card's pretty sick. You know, Anderson Walker's. If they lost the main event, trust me, I would shed tears. But luckily, the main event's still nice, fat, and juicy.
You know what Kamaru Usman did? You know when you have tickets for something, let's just say Super Bowl tickets, and you know that your good buddies you see on social media or whatever, they're out having fun in England or whatever, somewhere else.
And you invite them anyway?
Hey, man, I got Super Bowl tickets. And they go, oh, man, I can't make it. I'm out here partying. But thanks for that invite, man. You're a G. Thanks for doing that. Mm-hmm. But you knew there was no way they were going to take you up on it. That's what Kamaru did. Probably. He knew there was no way they were going to take him up on it.
Maybe, maybe. All right. A couple of quick things here, and then we'll get out of here. Sergio Pettis, close to signing with Bellator after a long UFC stint. You like that or no?
No.
He's got to win over Benavidez, and Benavidez is going to be one of the two that fights for a title. He's either fighting Cejudo for Cejudo's title, or he's fighting Davison Figueiredo for the vacant title when Cejudo vacates it to defend it with 135. Pettis has that key win. I would have thought that he would have wanted to hang around now that flyweight's going to stick around. He's one half of the Pettis brothers. I mean, is Bellator like writing that big of a check that he's willing to leave?
It depends how bad flyweights really had it. You know, if they were really kept in the dark the way people say they were, or the way they say they were, then I could see being a little bitter towards that and just wanting to go somewhere else. And, you know, you hear rumors like, what's one thing that fighters always say about Scott Coker? They get treated well.
Yeah.
By him. So
speaking
maybe
of
I could see that.
Free agents, Rory McDonald, he's actually right now a free agent as of that last fight. What do you think he's going to do? There's retire, Bellator, UFC, PFL, you know the deal.
If the option's there, why wouldn't you do PFL? But I would think he's closer to re-signing with Bellator than he would be going back to the UFC. Because I don't know that the UFC is going to pay him what he's probably going to want.
Mm-hmm. Michael Chandler versus Benson Henderson 2 taking place in Japan. You down?
Why not? I mean, the first fight wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But I'd see it again.
Yeah, two veterans vying for a chance to fight Patricio Pitbull Frady, although he's got his hands full because he's one of the participants in the featherweight Grand Prix. See, folks, that's what happens when you have a champ. One division just gets put on hold, and it's a fucking mess, man. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I'm a fan of the accomplishment, but what comes after that is always a mess. And a couple last things here. Clarissa Shields in the Bellator cage. Scott Coker's warm to it. Scott Coker seems warm to any possibility. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool in one sense, but it depends. Like, how much money are you going to give Clarissa Shields? I got to imagine it's going to be a good paycheck to get her over here. And then what does that make you think as a fan? Well, do you really want to see her in there? Like, wouldn't you want that money to be distributed instead of to one fighter that hasn't ever done MMA? Wouldn't you rather go to, like, two, maybe three solid fighters that have done MMA that you're going to be able to see over multiple cards that's going to strengthen the Bellator roster? I would rather see that.
Yeah. All right. We got to end with this. Good friend of the show, a Vegas icon, Randy Couture, suffered a heart attack last Wednesday. We did not know about it until Thursday. Rest assured, Randy is now home resting. This took place actually when he was in Los Angeles. So the good news is that he is home and resting. But, man, those two words, heart attack, just goes to show you. You know what I mean? Like, at any point in time, someone close to you can be taken away, you know, and we've known Randy for a long time.
He walked himself to the hospital. I mean,
that dude's a tank. Remember when we woke up at 6 a.m. to do the fitness test that the Army had set up for us in that visit that we had at JBLE, and he was right there raring to go. No cup of coffee. Let's do it. No stretching. Come on. Mm-hmm. What do you need? Push-ups, pull-ups. And he's 56. Holy cow.
That dude's got a huge heart, and he does a lot for the Vegas community here. He does a lot for veterans. His plate doesn't have to be as full as it is with, you know, having one of the biggest gyms in the world, being an actor, all of the charity work he does. He's got that tough enough card coming up as well. That guy's a really good guy. I can never say anything bad about him. He's always been very nice to us. It was a very scary thing to read, and I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah. All right, folks. With that, I think we better wrap up. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie George, at The Goes, and of course the radio show. Same thing, Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie Radio. Hey, and you know what? If you've never left us an iTunes review, please leave those. Those help out a lot, especially those big five-star ones. It helps with the algorithm, better placing, and, of course, we love to read them. And if you're an out of the United States or Canada iTunes reviewer, let us know via email, radio@mmajunkie.com. The email will come to us, and that way we can go and search for it. It's not easy. The reviews aren't easy to find unless they're in the U.S. or Canada. But if you're from Australia, the U.K., or any other part of the world, let us know. We'll go look for you in that iTunes region, the way they separated. I know, confusing, but just let us know. All right, folks, we are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.